Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Spelding, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truths that change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Spelding.
Okay, I always look for that red light. Then I know we're cooking. Okay, good to have everybody back from your break. This is the fourth program this afternoon, and we're going to get out of here and get home in just a little bit. But let's pick up one more program. Go back to Daniel chapter 8, where we just left off in verse 9. Now remember what I've been saying, that this is history before it happened, prophesied by the prophet Daniel, and consequently the unbelieving world can't comprehend it. But that's the beauty of prophecy. It just simply proves that our Bible knows what it's talking about when it can predict things or foretell things long before it happens. All right, so now back to Daniel chapter 8, verse 9 again. Out of one of them, that is, out of one of these four areas of the Greek Empire. Now don't forget that after Alexander the Great, by his own cunning and his leadership, had conquered the then-known world and actually cried tears that there wasn't any more ground to conquer. And then, of course, he died a drunkard's death, really, if you want to know the truth of it, at the age of 33. And then he had four generals in order to make sure that none of Alexander's sons would take his place. They murdered them. See, now that's how history works. So these four generals connived to kill the sons of Alexander the Great so that there wouldn't be anybody to usurp the power except themselves. So these four generals now divide the empire, but the worst of the four was Antiochus Epiphanes. Now you want to write that one down. Antiochus. And he was the general that took over the part of the world that included Syria and Israel and Egypt. And so he was a despot, and he gave Israel fits. He was, well, we'll see it here in the Scripture in just a minute. And that's why he is what the Scripture calls a preview of the man Antichrist. And so we go back to so many of the things that Antiochus did that we know the Antichrist will do as well. All right, Daniel chapter 8, then verse 9. So out of one of them, out of these four, came forth a little horn, which is an indication that he's the type or picture of the Antichrist. It waxed exceeding great toward the south. See, that took in the land of Israel. And he went toward the east and toward the pleasant land, which, of course, is another reference to Palestine or the land of Israel. All right, verse 10. He waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Now, that may be kind of hard to comprehend, but one commentary designated that as the priests, as they worked in the temple, and he made a point of killing them first and downtrodden them. All right, now then, verse 12. A host was given him against the daily sacrifice. Now, you know that's in the realm of the temple worship. See, he's down in Jerusalem. And so he had a daily host, or he had a host given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Now, I think that all is in reference to his destroying the temple and the temple worship and the word of God and all that was associated with it. Then verse 13, then I heard one saint or a believing Jew speaking, and another believing Jew said unto the certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host, that is, the population of Jerusalem in general, to be trodden underfoot. Now, keep remembering, this is all taking place back there in about 300 B.C., while Antiochus Epiphanes was ruling his part of the Greek Empire before the Romans came in, and the Antichrist is going to follow in his footstep now some 2,300 years later. All right, next verse. Verse 14, wasn't it? 14. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days. Now, nobody, of whatever I can read, can give an answer to this. And I can't understand. So we'll just leave that verse set. Nobody can understand what those 2,300 days are referring to. Now, verse 15. And it came to pass, when I, even I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. Now, whether it's the Lord or it's an angel, I'm going to wait and see if it comes up in the coming verses. But I had a man's heard a man's voice say between the banks of the Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So I think that's what the man's voice in verse 16 is Gabriel. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. Now, you can understand that. Daniel is still very human in spite of all that God has been doing with him. And he was afraid. Who wouldn't be? Have an angel suddenly, the likes of Gabriel. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end. See, now we're leaping all the way over to what for us is still future. That would be 2,300 years plus. All right. So, at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now, as he was speaking with me, this angel Gabriel, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground, but he touched me and set me upright. And Gabriel said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. Now, the indignation in Scripture is the 7 years of tribulation. Let's go back. Haven't done it for quite a while. Keep your hand in Daniel. I hope I can remember where I'm at. Come back with me to Psalms chapter 2 again. We use it quite often. I always call it the outline of the Old Testament program. And here we pick it up, of course, at the crucifixion, the rejection of Israel's Messiah. Psalms chapter 2. I think it's high time that we review it. And we might as well start at verse 1. In years gone by, we've used it quite often, but it's been a while. Psalms chapter 2, and I just want you to see how beautifully this is laid out now, since we're seeing it also in Daniel. Verse 1, why do the heathen, the non-Jewish world, rage, and the people, Israel, imagine a vain thing? What's the matter with their thinking? The kings of the earth, now in this case it's the likes of Pilate and the Roman authorities, set themselves, in other words, you know, they were all prone to think that they were God themselves, and the rulers, that is of Israel, take counsel together. In other words, when the high priest consorted with Pilate to put him to death, all right, so the kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers of Israel take counsel together against the Lord, in other words, Jesus of Nazareth, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, that is, the reins or the controlling power of Israel's gone. They wanted nothing to do with him. Cast away their cords from us. Well, Israel had been that ridiculous all through their history, of course. So now then, they say, let us break their bands, that is, the bands of the triune God. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. How can Israel, or anybody else for that matter, be so ridiculous? And the Lord will have them in derision. Then he shall speak unto them in his wrath. That's the tribulation. And he will vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet, even after running the course of the days of indignation, the 7 years of tribulation, this is what will follow. Yet I have set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. See how perfectly it unfolds? They reject the Messiah, they kill him, but according to Old Testament prophecy, in short order, the tribulation would come in, Christ would return, and Israel would have the kingdom. See, there's no hint of the church age in anything in Old Testament prophecy. It was a secret kept in the mind of God until he gave it to the Apostle Paul. All right, so yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, the Lord has said to me, thou art my son. See, there we know we're speaking of Christ. And this day have I begotten thee, and I will give thee, verse 8, the heathen, the Gentiles, for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth, as we've already seen. That's a reference to the coming kingdom. All right, so all the way through now, we've got this set of events. That first Christ would be rejected, then would come the tribulation, then the second coming, and the establishing of the kingdom. All right, now then, let's come back up to where we were in Daniel chapter 8. And now we're going to see this vision explained. Verse 20. The ram which thou sawest. Now remember, who's the ram? The Medes and the Persians. The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Mede and Persia. The rough goat is the king of Grecia. That's Alexander the Great. The great horn that is between his eyes is the first king, or Alexander himself. Now that being broken, in other words, he died at the age of 33. Now his power is broken by virtue of physical death, whereas four, those four generals that we've been talking about, four stood up for it. Four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. In other words, those four segments of Alexander's empire will become pretty much independent, and yet they're going to be fighting against each other. See? Verse 23. In the latter time of their kingdom, these four generals, including the main player, Antiochus Epiphanes, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance, understanding dark sentences, in other words, I think it's a reference to his demonic influence, satanic power, dark sentences, shall stand up. Verse 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not in his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully, shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people, that's Israel, and through his policy also shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand. He shall magnify himself in his heart. By peace he shall destroy many. All right, now we come to an understanding that we're talking about the Antichrist, the one who is the follower of Antiochus Epiphanes because of the capitalized word prince. Here's the key. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, which is a title of Christ. Now let's jump ahead. We'll be coming to it probably in the next taping. But jump all the way up to chapter 9, verse 26. And here's where you get the connection, that now we're talking about the Antichrist confronting the Son of God, Jesus Christ, at his second coming. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Now, we'll look at this in detail in our next taping, hopefully. But after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, a reference to his crucifixion. Not for himself. In other words, he died for us, not for anything he had done. Now here it comes. The people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Oh, I didn't go up far enough. I should have gone up to verse 25. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Jump back up to verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the what? Prince. There I made my point. Now it's Prince capitalized. All right, now flip back. We'll look at this in days to come. Now come back to Daniel chapter 8. So this is the same Prince referred to then in verse 25. The coming Christ. All right? So now we know that we're dealing with the Antichrist, who is going to follow in almost the identical footsteps of Antiochus Epiphanes some 300 years earlier. All right? And by peace he shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the Prince of Princes. He thinks he can fight the coming Christ. But he shall be broken without hand. Now let's go back and see how the book of Revelation deals with that verse. To what extent will God the Son utterly destroy this man, Antichrist? Revelation 19, let's drop in at verse 19. Revelation 19, verse 19. Revelation 19:19, and I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, who he had subjected under his own power, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse, which is a reference to Christ, God the Son, Jesus of Nazareth, however you want to name him. And they had gathered together to make war against him who sat on the source and against his army. But all we have to do is look at verse 20. It didn't take much but a spoken word. And the beast was taken, the Antichrist, by virtue of the power of God the Son. So the Antichrist is taken. And with him, the false prophet, the religious leader that's going to head up a world religion. Now, we'll come to that maybe in a later time, how that everything during the tribulation is going to be under one world government. That's why I feel we're getting so close to the end. Everything is pushing for a one world government, a one world currency, a one world religion. And that is subtle, and it's closer than most of us realize. The idea of a one-world religion. All right, that'll be headed up by the other major player of these 7 years, which is the false prophet. All right, so the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. See, miracles and religion, they go together. They just go together. Never forget that. You don't find Antiochus Epiphanes creating miracles. You don't see Nebuchadnezzar performing miracles. But it's always associated with religion. All right, so this false prophet, and one of his major points of winning the world will be miracles. All right, so he brings miracles before him with which he deceived them who had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. And here's their end. These both, as human men, they're not anything but born of women, human men, that God has seen fit to empower and to use, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. In other words, they do not get the advantage of the great white throne judgment. They will be cast directly to the lake of fire. All right, now then, if you can come back with me to Daniel chapter 8. And we were at verse 25. He will stand up against the Prince of Princes, the God the Son, the coming Christ, but he shall be broken without hand. He won't stand a snowball's chance. Oh, he's going to feel that he's had the world under his thumb for 7 years, and he thinks that he can defeat the Christ of glory. No, he will not. And so he will be cast into the lake of fire with the false prophet. And then, as we know from Revelation, Satan will be locked up. They can't put him in the lake of fire yet because he still has to come back at the end of the 1,000 years. Okay, now I'll come back to chapter 8 then, verse 26. So the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told, is true. In other words, Daniel says, believe it. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Well, I can see why. My, when he got a picture of these end time events and saw it so vividly, it was almost more than the human can take. And so he was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision, but none understood. Even Daniel could not get a complete picture. In fact, this might be a good time. Jump all the way up to chapter 12. Because this just says it all. Daniel chapter 12, verse 8. Daniel 12, verse 8. We'll be looking at it again somewhere down the road, but for now it just says it all. And I heard all these things from these visions and from these angelic conversations. I heard, but I understood not. See? He couldn't comprehend what all this is all about. Why? Because God didn't give him that much insight. Now, you see, whenever I speak of God keeping things from people, such as Daniel, and such as these other prophets, and even the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry, he kept things from those 12 men that most of Christendom today thinks they understood, and they did not. For example, did the 12 have any idea of what we call the church age or the body of Christ? No, not a clue. Why? God did not see fit to tell them. And you see, all the way up through the first part of the book of Acts, those 12 men did not have a clue. They weren't supposed to. Wasn't their fault. Well, now just read how Daniel puts it. I heard all these vision experiences, but I understood not. And I said, O Lord, what shall be the end of these things? What is all this coming to? But look what God says. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to when? The time of the end. All right, what did I say a little while ago? I don't know, was it in this half hour or the one last? What began about 100 years ago? Well, the understanding of prophecy. For 1800 years, Christendom knew nothing of end time prophecy. They had no idea that the Jews scattered out into every nation under heaven would be going back home. They didn't have a clue. But in the latter part of the 1800s, Bible teachers began to see it, that evidently the Jews are going to come back to their homeland. 1900, it started. See? Well, it's the same way here. Daniel is told, don't fret over it. It's not for you to know. But when the end time comes, then God will begin to reveal these secrets. All right, got 4 minutes left. Come back to Daniel. And reading the last verse once again. And I, Daniel, fainted, was sick certain days because he could see the ramifications, how horrendous it all was, and yet couldn't put it together. And I was astonished, and none understood it. All right, now then, for a couple minutes, we'll start in chapter 9. Now, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes. See, we're at the heart yet of the Mede and Persian Empire. Now, remember when Daniel talked about Alexander the Great, that was still out in the future. Don't get confused now. We're still in the Mede and Persian Empire, time-wise, in Daniel's life. The Greek Empire will come later. So Daniel is still writing from the time of the Mede and Persian Empire before Alexander the Great. So in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans because they had defeated him, and they had literally overrun the Babylonians. All right, verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of what? Jerusalem. Now, I told you to keep that word in your computer, didn't I? Let's go back to Jeremiah 25, and let's just see what Daniel is talking about. Isaiah, Jeremiah, come back to chapter 25. Oh, let's see, where am I? Verse 11? Yeah. Jeremiah 25, verse 11. See, now this is the beauty of Scripture. Jeremiah is writing probably 100 or more years before Daniel. And here it is. Jeremiah 25, verse 11. And the whole land, that is, the land of Israel. Jeremiah 25, 11. I notice some of you are still turning the pages. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. Do you remember when years back I read what old William Clemens, the guy who wrote Huckleberry Finn, Mark Twain, when he traveled in the land of Israel in the 1860s, I think I can still almost quote it. He said, I have never seen such desolation. Even the weeds of the desert will not grow here. We rode for days and days and never saw a human being. The sun got hotter and hotter. I would not want to live here. Well, that's exactly what was prophesied, that the astonishment of the desolation, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Now, I don't know, I'm going to have to push time. Come back with me real fast to Leviticus 26, and Moses already speaks of it. In Leviticus 26, verse 32, I won't be able to wait for you. And I will bring the land into desolation, and it will be for 70.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs are available in printed form, audio cassette, and videotape. Be sure to tune in next time to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.